What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
And I'm Keith Finch.
And this week's show is brought to you by Taurus USA and Dun.
Will's gonna love this. Will's gonna love this one.
I haven't done a straight read into the intro in a while, obviously with everything that's been going on. Because the last couple of shows that we did, even when Jack was here, we just sort of launched into the topic. When we did the hunting episode, I hit record in the middle of an argument,
And we just went on
and we
from
just kept going. Also, I'm still mad at Jack for dying before I could prove how absolutely correct I was about that argument. So that's son of a bitch. I'm gonna get
he's
you,
gonna
but.
laugh at us for I made this comment too yesterday because we were we've got one of Lauren Mickey's prints of Jack that we're gonna put in the office. It's an amazing print, awesome print. I think one's behind you.
I have so much Lauren art in my office. So I have the Mandalorian with an HK 417. I have the behind me, my favorite one is the Biker Scout that he did with an HKG3. I have his
I have the most glorious,
I
and you
have the
just
secret
have
Harambe
this.
print as well. I just
The
haven't framed it.
I have a glorious Harambe print. R.I.P. Harambe.
I even have
R.I.P.
a
Jack.
special, I even had a one-off he did of me as Obi-Wan Kenobi with a revolver. So, yeah. But
And
anyway, hang on.
we were going over, we'll get back to the read. We've already fucked it up. So
Yeah, that's fair.
we were going over where to put Jack. And originally Charles was like, we should put Jack in the conference room. I'm like, yes, that would be the biggest middle finger to him for passing on, is he now has to attend every meeting we ever have, ever.
Oh my
You
God.
aren't getting out of another one, buddy.
Yeah, and again, the joke that we told last week of that Jack so badly didn't want to go to NRA that he changed planes of existence is actually true. Like
100. That's so spot on.
he did not enjoy the trade shows. That was not his greatest
No.
environment.
He enjoyed being like near the trade shows, so like he could hang
Yeah.
out with his people away from the show. But if you know Jack and how truly enormous a human, like a trade show floor is not kind to Jack.
No.
It was never kind to Jack.
I don't think anybody really under like people who didn't, who have just listened to the show or something like that really have no concept of how large a human being Jack was. Like Jack was not a short king. There was no the only short king era for Jack was when he was three. Right? Like Jack at three was the size of 12-year-olds. So, he was just he's always been a big
Jack going to kindergarten is current Caleb.
Yeah, not far from wrong. So anyway, speaking of short kings, what we're going to talk about this week is one of Keith and my favorite subjects, which is short-barreled rifles and how, thanks to changes in the regulatory landscape when it comes to SBR, no, not the regulatory landscape. Let me clarify that. Changes in the landscape around how long it takes to get an SBR, sort of the market forces as well, and then as what you're seeing in, military and law enforcement, we are in the short king era of defensive rifles. Like without a question, it is, the standard military issue rifle, the M4A1, is technically an SBR. It has a 14.5 inch barrel with an attached flash hider, which makes it 16 inches. The vast majority of M4 clones that you can buy out there on the market are 14.5s with pinned flash hiders and things like that. There are still lots of like true 16 inch guns around, which many of those are sort of holdovers from inventory, that we're making 16 inch guns, but another super common length that's available right now that a lot of people are building guns on is 11.5.
11.5 has been like the rifle. When you and I got into the military, the rifle was the M16A2, right? It was a 40-inch gun with a 20-inch barrel.
So old.
Because we're old, and that's from. And then my wonderful service, the Marine Corps, did not go away from the 40-inch rifle. We went to the M16A4, which was same gun, slightly different sights, quad rail, cool. But
Side
we
note,
were.
the M16A4 fucks so
Oh,
hard.
it's such a
Like
good rifle.
The
It's
other,
such a good rifle, but she long.
the only other rifle that I love more than that is one that we never actually had in the US as an official configuration, which was, it was the Canadian, it was their version of the A4, because it had the 20-inch barrel with the quad rail, but it had a collapsible stock on it
C7A2, I
because
think.
they were
That was
like
going to be, that was
gun
essentially
to.
going to be the M16A5. The M16A5 that was drawn up, the Volter A5 buffer system was part of that, but it was drawn up. But the Marines weren't going to go to the M27 or M4A1 initially. The original plan was to update the A4s into A5 and finally give them adjustable stocks, but pretty much leave the upper alone other than floating the barrel. So if you look at like the BCM floated quad rail and then an upgraded adjustable stock and then probably a two-stage upgraded trigger, that would be like, hell, I've got one over here.
Of course you do.
Oh no, I
I
don't.
just
I don't.
love
It's
that
at
the
the office, so it's not
I
in
just
mine.
love that the whole design ethos behind that gun was gun too long, let's make it short in the
The stock.
silliest way possible. Like,
Because the Marine Corps loves their speedy long-range bullet thingies, and so floating the barrel and keeping 20 inches of burn space on the rounds was like it fit. But we also have Marines who like the shortest Marine I taught was your size, and you don't fit the M16A2 or A4 very well with a fixed stock.
I mean, I've never had, I think I've never had a problem with it because I do think there's a technique issue that can be trained
It can.
around to, get good at managing that. And I've always been, fortunate in my access to training and my desire to train as well. But again, I will just, I always have thought, that the, like that particular gun, and mind you, I think it looks really cool. I think it's a very cool looking gun with the quad rail and the broom handle and then the collapsible stock.
Oh,
But I'm like,
it is an
this
aesthetic. It is a strong aesthetic. And I do intend, because I modded mine. Mine was a full-on FN M16A4, the military collector's series of the FN15. Like
Oof.
it was totally to spec and everything. And I, being me, modded the hell out of it. So I
Of
probably
course.
need another one that I'm going to keep stock.
Hey, look at that. Brownells is selling the XM177 flash hider and grenade ring that they used on their reproduction 11.5 rifles. And that, when you pin it, makes it a 16. This, so that's, so I've been like, while we've been having this conversation, I've been on a brief wander through some retailers looking for my grail gun that I once sold and deeply regret selling, which of course was the Troy GAU-5 recreation that they
Oh,
made, because
yes.
I had two of them, and again, those were both true 11.5s with a pinned flash hider grenade ring on there. And what made them cool is, unlike the XM177 clones, they had no forward assist because they were a true reproduction of the GAU-5AA, I think is what it was. And I had two of them. I sold both of them, and I d and P longtime listeners remember I Googled one of these before, and I found it on one of the auction sites, and I didn't add it to my cart, and I regret that. I need to friggin' do it. Anyway, but
We need
SBRs.
to get your grail. Like, you are not heavy into the rifles, but we need to get your rifle back.
Yes, I want one
Get
of those.
Caleb's rifle back.
I want one of those back. So if anybody out there, if any of you degenerates listening to this have a line on one of the reproduction Troy GAUs, let me know. And I will buy it from you. So long as you're not trying to gouge me, right? Like, that's not a 3,000. That was why I didn't buy the one that was on GunBroker, because they wanted like $2,800 for it. And I'm like, this is not a
No.
$2,800
No,
gun.
it's
This
not.
is like,
There are very few rifles that are like actual $2,800
right.
rifles.
If it had
It's,
been 15, I would have been like,
oh yeah.
take my money. But anyway, so, but like, the whole thing with SBRs is interesting because if you sort of track like rifle, if you track trends in service rifles, right, or duty rifles or SWAT rifles, we actually have had a previous SBR everything phase, but it was with MP5s. And those are technically SBRs, even if they're pistol calibers, is we went SB5 was the cool guy CQB gun, and then everything sort of went to ARs because of the GWAP, which made sense because let's be real, an AR is better than a 9 mil. And then everyone was like, shit, these are loud, so let's put suppressors on them. And then it was like, shit, these are long, so let's make them
So let's shorten
short.
them up.
And now they're still really loud, so what can we do to ameliorate all of this?
It's been an interesting because they follow parallel lines, roughly parallel lines, but for very different reasons. So SBRs in the open market have been driven by, especially recently, the updated wait times and the updated processing times from ATF, which
Oh,
made
yeah.
NFA much more accessible, so you could get true SBRs. Prior to
Side
that, it
note,
was the
guys,
pistol
put in
brace.
side note, guys, put in your form ones.
Yeah.
This is a sidebar worth sidebarring.
Yes.
Keith, how many times has someone told you that the reason they don't have NFA items, whether it's SBRs or SBSs or suppressors, is because they don't want to deal with NFA wait times?
A lot. The other super common reason is I don't want the government having access to my house. Guys, they
They
don't.
don't. So we'll let's whack both of those moles. So mole number one to whack, wait times. Your argument is now invalid. If you submit a properly filled out form one, you're going to get it back really, really quick. If you go through one of the companies like Silencer Shop or Silencer Central that is designed around streamlining the NFA process, you're gonna get your shit back quick. If
Next
you've
day in some cases, guys. Next day.
if you fill out dicked up NFA paperwork because you go to Bob's suppressor shop and they don't know what the hell they're doing, you might have a bad time. But there's lots of retailers that also that aren't, part of the Silencer Central or Silencer Shop network that specialize in this stuff and will get you and are really, really good at it. So go to one of those guys. Your argument for not getting NFA items is invalid. In the last year, I have gone from no NFA items to two, which isn't a lot, but my turnaround, and this was before they did the update, my turnaround time on those form ones was like 20 days each, right? And I now have two SBRs, both of which are comically ludicrous.
Because if you're gonna have fun with it, have fun with it, guys. Like, not everything has to be serious. So that was kind of the commercial aspect of it. Oh, and then the second point, that I don't want to give the government access to my stuff. Ooh, balloons.
Yeah, they've added some effects on Zoom where, like, if you like
Children.
hold up like a peace sign, it thinks you're at a
Yeah.
party, and like you can do a thumbs up and it'll think you're
Yeah,
like,
it'll
yeah.
I know the thumbs up. It's
It's the
okay.
worst. It's so annoying.
ADHD kicking in there.
I know, right?
But the government doesn't just have magic access to you because you have Form 1 stuff. The government doesn't have magic access to me, and I have an FFL and SOT. There is a procedure they have to do in order to inspect my stuff. It's all laid out in the paperwork. So technically, yeah, they have a way to access it, but they had a way to access it through, a trace request. And they have a way to access it when they do a periodic inspection, if they ever choose to do a periodic inspection. That's all there. If you own NFA items, your requirement is just to produce the Form 4 or the Form 1 that you have as an owner or the manufacturer in the proper space that is requested of you. That's
Right.
it.
Which also means that, like, if you, let's say, I don't know, you go to a gun range and some, RO asks you for your SBR paperwork, you are under no, like, I want to caveat this. I am never an advocate for being a dick to essentially service workers, right? Whether they are range ROs or hotel employees or restaurant servers or anything like that. There's no need to be a dick to these people. However, you are also under no legal obligation to provide a range master with your SBR paperwork. Now, that being said, I have a version of my SBR paperwork stored in an iCloud folder because they don't even send you physical paperwork anymore. They just
Nope, e-forms all online.
Send you everything online. So when I get the approved form online, I download a PDF of it, I save it to my cloud, I password protect it. So that way, if I'm, let's say, going somewhere with my gun and an actual law enforcement officer pulls me over. I'm speeding. I get put in a series of continually unlikely circumstances. Speeding, likely. Getting pulled over, relatively unlikely because I don't speed that much. Getting my vehicle searched to the point where they discover I have SBRs, extremely unlikely. Asking for the paperwork for the SBRs, even further unlikely, but I have it there so that if they're like, hey, I need to see the paperwork for this, I can go beep boop bop boop. Thank you.
Done.
Assuming I'm not face down on the ground in handcuffs, then we'll worry about that later. But yeah, it's get your friggin' SBRs, guys. Like, it's time. It's
Yeah.
time. Get a suppressor
And
too.
if your hang up is the $200 tax, okay, whatever. Don't. Then just don't. I
Yeah,
don't.
just don't. But okay, here's the other thing too, right? So when you factor in the let's okay. All taxation is theft. All gun laws are an infringement. I have genuflected before the cross
We
now.
have genuflected our actual perfect world opinions. Yeet those, delete those. They aren't
Yeah.
useful
No, I would
in the
love
United
to
States.
not have to pay a $200 tax stamp. I think it's dumb as hell, especially in the case of SBRs, right? Like, I'm like, what? These guns are not actually more deadlier-fying than, regular ass rifles. In many cases, and let's talk about this, the trend towards 11.5 ARs has started to go back to 14.5s because they discovered that those 3 inches of barrel really make a difference on both exterior ballistics and terminal ballistics unless your ammo is optimized for the short barrel. So,
And
and
optimized ammo do be the more expensive.
because like
So
an
you got to
11.5
pick your.
We discovered an 11.5 AR running 855 A1 is not nearly as good as a 14.5 AR running 855 A1. And I don't know of any ballistic tests of 855 A1 through a 20 inch, but I assume it's just a piss missile that goes through everything.
It's just, oh, you have plates? That's cute.
Straight. Are those plates level 4? I mean, to be fair, oh God, XM193 out of a friggin' 20-inch AR goes through a lot of
It's like
shit.
3,400 feet a second if you've got a hot load of 193. It's so stupid
It's
fast.
terrifyingly fast. And a really surprisingly accurate round, the old XM193s.
Oh yeah.
It was I
And
understand.
everybody assumes that the 55 grain is less accurate than the 62 when it's the 62, because the old 62, not the A1. The A1's a lot better because they can make it consistently. They can make it the proper shape inside and out. 855, they couldn't make super consistent because the steel core inside the jacket wouldn't stay in the same spot. It's
Like steel core, just go in the
a little
one
wonky.
place that I want you to go. And I think what's interesting, it makes sense when you actually look at both the exterior and the terminal ballistics for 193 out of a 20-inch gun, why the Marine Corps held on to that round and that gun for so long, even through a large chunk of the GWAT when the Army was going to shorter guns and green tip, the Marines were like, we'll stick with the 193 and the long boys for a while because that round and that rifle fuck stuff up.
And
193.
when the switch to green ammo happened, when Army was developing A1, the Marines went with a solid copper 62 grain instead, and Mark 318 did some frickin' work. That was a good round. But Army have the big buying power, and the Marine Corps do not.
Yeah, well, and it's funny how we all end up, every both of us being, guys who were not, I mean, you were in the Army for a little bit too, but we see how the Army's logistical train drives so much else. Like I was talking to an Army armorer about some of the ongoing problems with the M17 M18 series, and he talked about how when the Army dropped the NSN for the red dot for the slide mounted dot for the M17s, Big Army said, all right, Sig, you don't need to worry about Loctiting that rear sight plate because that'll be an armor level task that they'll do if their unit decides to issue an optic or not. And like, I can understand that from Big Army's point of view. However,
Yeah.
then what SIG does is they're like, okay, we're not Loctiting anybody's rear sight plates, including the ones for the Air Force who do not have an authorized pistol optic for our guns. So none of our armorers are going to Loctite those because we're not fucking putting optics on those guns. And I'm like, thanks, Army. So I should be mad at you instead of SIG for this. And he's like, when you put it like that, I can see why you would be frustrated. I'm like, I know. Anyway, this is not a Caleb Hates SIG podcast, despite my deep and you know, it's funny. I know I've actually gotten some DMs, people being like, why do you hate SIG so much? I don't. I actually don't hate
To
SIG. I
appease
hate.
the Sig hate deities, hi, like this is the close SVR I've got right now. It's an 11.5 Gen 3 NCX. And you know what? I like it. I really do. It's really nice.
To be fair, I don't hate SIG. I hate the SIG M18, and I don't even actually hate the M18. I hate the way that it has been rolled out to the mil. The way it's been rolled out to the military has revealed flaws with both the acquisition and the way the gun itself actually works. So that is what I hate. I also do think it's inferior as a service sidearm to the M9, but I have also accepted that if I'd been in the military when the 1911 was replacing the revolver for the Air Force, and when the M9 was replacing the 1911, I would have thought they all sucked too, and just been like, the old thing more better. I'm old and crusty. But
We all have to inevitably accept our inner boomer. There's
yeah,
still
and it's
part of
fine.
me that think M16A4 best rifle ever.
Yeah, I
Like,
mean, I don't necessarily
it's the
disagree.
rifle I grew up on. Now the core is all M4A1 and M27, but like M16A4 better.
And that's why actually I was just looking at so the next rifle I'm probably going to buy is going to be an SBR that's not an SBR, because I want to get the FN Military Collector's Edition of the M4A1 that has the 14.5 with the pinned flash hider. And I'm like, why? Because it's my gun. And it's got, it has everything. It's got the Troy quad rail, it's got the broomstick, it's got everything on it. So if you're like if you were in the Air Force like me, you were issued one of these guns. It just happens to go, that selector switch just happens to go to a third position, a more fun position.
And I really like that. It's one of the reasons why this adoption of like the M7, which is another really neat SBR, by the way. The XM7 is a cool gun. That ammo is a cool
Is
gun.
that
It's
that's
a cool
the
concept.
6 point
It's the spear.
whatever?
Yep, it's the 13-inch spear. It is a gun that SIG tuned to throw like I think it's like 110 or 114 grain bullet, as fast out of a 13-inch barrel as M193 goes out of a 14.5.
Okay, that's not,
It's a spicy meatball.
yeah, I don't hate that. I actually don't hate that at all. And again, see, I told you guys, I don't hate all of SIG. I just hate the M18. And because I think it's interesting, I don't know how effective it's going to be at replacing the M4 is the thing,
I
right?
don't know
Like,
either. I feel like we're going to get into this weird hybrid mix because it was never supposed to be total force replacement either in the contract, but I think it's going to replace less than what they originally thought too. But of all the tech in there, I think one, the 250 is going to have a much more successful total replace in place of the
Yes.
saw, because the saw really hasn't changed much since 1986.
No.
Like bolted quad rails onto it, cool.
I still have
Just made
saws
it
in
that
my
much more
arsenal.
uncomfortable to hold.
I still have saws in my arsenal that have the old hand grip on them, and there's so much. And I'm like, the perfect saw is this with the hand grip, but with the tray cover that has the rail on it. Because
That the just the optic rail. That's all you need,
here's what you
just the
guys do.
optic.
So here's a cool guy saw trick. You take a comp M4 optic, put it on an M4, zero it on the M4, put it on saw, basically zeroed. Like, it will give you a much easier to acquire aiming point of aim than the iron sights, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I can really like put some hate on some stuff at intermediate ranges with this gun really, really easily. So that is a
One of the things that I tried to get in place when we had a little more gear freedom, and we thought we were going to Afghanistan at the time. And I'm in Michigan, so I'm actually not far from EOTech. I tried to get enough EOTech sites because they were NSN'd and you could get them through the supply chain and we had a little more flexibility. I tried to, I didn't get it, especially because we didn't go, but I tried to get a bunch of EOTech sites, the XPS, the lower version, for our saws to go over there, because we were running 3.5 power ACOGs with
On a
little
saw?
RMRs on top, which were, funny enough, the original ACOG we were supposed to get was the TA-11s. The TA-31 ended up getting purchased instead, which was the incorrect one, had even shorter eye relief than already short eye relief. But the TA-11's a big bastard, and unless you are really locked in, which basically meant prone, you'd be off sight and out of the sight window really, really quick, or you'd be using the RMR on top, which wasn't a LED RMR, it was the dual illuminated one, and those were
Oh,
so
so the
hit miss
worst
on the
RMR.
environment. They were not great. I thought they were great at the time because I hadn't used anything else. I'm like, this is amazing. I have literally seen nothing else, but I will declare this the best. So the TA-11 was a working optic, but the TA-11 definitely works a lot better on the M27 than it did on the SAW because the M27 is select fire. So I wanted dot optics or holographics for the SAW because big field of view, big shiny aiming point, send the bullets. It didn't work out though.
Also the saw an SBR when done properly. You get the little short boy barrels on that thing, and then you can kind of whip that sucker around in a way that you really cannot do with
The 14.5 saws are a lot of fun. A lot
those
of
little
fun.
those the saw was I like to stand in defense of the 249 because I think the 249 in many ways endured a lot of the problems that the Beretta did, where people thought the 249 sucked, not because it sucked, but because they didn't maintain their 249s. And
Absolutely true. Our gun, we retired the saws after a trip to Morocco because the 27s were rolling in. So we gave them a grand send-off. And I and a couple of other Marines in my company really knew how to keep the saws running, like where to properly lube, where not to lube, which was one of the biggest problems. Is taking lube in the wrong places so that gas would just cement there. But we knew what we were doing. And so our guns ran in the Sahara Desert, ran just, they ran until they literally fell apart. We ran these guns so hard, we were starting to rattle bipods off and all kinds of stuff, and they slowly died, but they never stopped firing. And then we threw them these wrecked, well-used, well-abused saws back in their crates on the way home so that they could get properly retired. We gave them a great send-off in the desert, and they shot to the last. Pistol grips falling off, bipod blades
The
missing.
saw. Yeah,
I think we lost front sights. It was great.
that's awesome. I think one of the things that people got wrong with the saw, and if I apologize to everybody who can hear this in the background, but my dog is going nuts about something and I have no idea what. Probably a person that is not amongst her tribe has entered into our yard, and how dare they? I think the thing about the saw that, people don't realize is lubrication in the wrong places is terrible for it. Because, like with the 249, you can just kind of hose the interior, or not the 249, excuse me. With the 240, you can kind of hose the interior of it down with, a lubricant and it'll be okay. The 249, you get lube in the wrong spot and the gun just goes, I want to die now. I had, oh, because like here's a testament to my love of the saw. I had multiple 249s running with linked 5.56 frangible ammunition, which is the nastiest
It's
shit.
dog shit.
Like, there's
It's
a video of
so
me on my
bad.
Instagram ripping a belt of it, and there's all this brown shit coming out of the front of the gun. If you want to know what that is, that's the back end of the frangible bullet disintegrating from the explosion as it goes down range. It's disgusting. But I had these guns running, and I had them running because I discovered the way to get a friggin' saw to run with linked frange is run that sucker as dry as a popcorn fart. Like, clean it, keep it super dry and run it. And then eventually the fouling will build up to a point that the gun will go down, but that's a couple thousand rounds. So, and then you have to tear it apart, detail clean it, and start the thing again. So yeah, I will not, I will never be a saw hater because I know what it takes to make them run, but I can understand again why people, you know, why Private Snuffy, who was issued a snaw or snaw, issued a saw in
Good old
Afghanistan,
snow.
was like, why does this saw not work? Well, because it's soaked in lubricant.
The number of troops, and I'm sure you've encountered it. I know I've encountered it, Marine Corps and Army side, who are just handed the saw with literally no background in the gun at all. And so it's just, find out how to put ammo in it, run the charging handle, and good luck to you. And then they were like, all right, well, now go to the qual range. And all the gun did was not work because they didn't know how to work it. And so they're like, oh, the saw sucks. It's awful. It's terrible. Anybody, it's kind of like it's going back to the M9, and well, I promise we'll circle back to SBRs at some point.
Pish posh,
Yeah,
our show.
but going back to the guys who love the saw knew how to run the saw, right? The guys who hate the saw don't know how to run it. And that's true of the M4, that's true of the M16, that's true of the M9. Like the people who really like they were just handed it. They were never taught how to run it. Those that were taught how to run it tended to like the systems.
Yeah, it's weird how that works, right? All right, so back to SBRs.
Back to SBRs, short aim.
Closing thoughts on SBRs. Step one, go get one. And as platforms go, here's the cool thing about it. You can do whatever you want. Like, you don't have to get an 11.5, 5.56 AR or a 300 blackout or something like that. You can do silly shit and put it on your Form One. You could do something
Like an
extremely
eight,
silly. Like,
nine inch barreled 8.6 blackout.
we have a friend who built a 10/22 Charger SBR machine gun. Like, I'm not sure, you know, and why, but because.
And it's an absurd color too.
And yeah,
It's
it's like leopard
hilarious.
print or some shit.
It's
It's
like
wild.
pink leopard print. It
I
is
love
wild.
it.
It's got a Comp M4 on it and a magnifier and a D-ball. This thing is amazing. And
Right.
it's just
He's,
that FA fun.
yeah, it's just, it's fun. It's stupid fun. I will say that, like, as a starter, NFA item, one of the SBR 1022 barrels is not a bad way to get into the game.
No,
Like,
no.
because they'll also get it, because you just go get one of the integrally suppressed ones. Yeah, hang on.
NFA 22 is another. We could do a whole other episode, and we might at some point do a whole another episode on just NFA 22 because NFA 22 is stupid levels of fun.
I forgot that Ruger actually has this as a catalog item, the Ruger Silent SR 1022 takedown integrally suppressed barrel. I don't know if it's an SBR, but it's integrally suppressed and it's a takedown and it's from Ruger. So, like, that's a thing that you can buy with money. So, and, you know, people, you know, this is me recommending another manufacturer's product. Yeah, because it's cool. Like, go buy that. That's a great start to your
We
NFA
are
collection.
last week we already sung Taurus's praises for the dropping the only cool things at NREM. Like that was
Yeah,
it.
we're good. We're good.
We're
I did
good.
the
Let's
sponsor thing.
praise other people who are also doing fun things now.
Man, let's see. Silence. So I'm now on the Silencer Central site. So we've got silencer calibers, accessories. But anyway, yeah, no, like, okay, so
What
every
crazy NFA
military and
stuff?
law enforcement aid, the only military that isn't, well, actually, shit, isn't, doesn't the Israeli military issue an SBR Tavor, which they're like, let's
Yeah.
make short gun even shorter?
They have a 13 inch, they have a 15 inch. Their M4s are straight M4s, so those are 14.5 guns. So their Tavors are like the 13 inch Tavor is only 23 inches long total. That is a small gun. It's the
That's
reason it's not
it's
Ghost Gun.
almost shorter than the barrel of the M16.
It really is. I measured it and it is the same length. I put a couple of things on it that made it a little longer, a stock pad and a Surefire muzzle. But when I got my 13-inch gun, I put it next to a MP5K, whatever the variant is with the trilog, not the shear-faced one, and it was the same length with the foldy stock and the trilog. the 13-inch 5.56 gun and the 5 and like a third inch barreled MP5 were the same length. And I'm like, wow,
Well, isn't this
one of
fun?
these sends 5.56 at 3,000 feet a second, and the other one is 9 millimeter.
Another fun SBR starting platform as we. By the way, hang on one second. I would just like to offer a special fuck you to the state of California because I've been visiting multiple retailer sites every time. And every time I go, if it's a site I haven't visited in the last 30 days or I have cookies turned off or whatever, I have to click on the Are you over 18 to enter this site thing. And the reason I have to
So
do that
annoying.
is because those fucking scumbags in California were like, ooh, they're marketing children. And it's like, first off, no, like, get fucked. This is not Joe Camel. Anyway, and I'm tired of having to click on these things, and I blame, and it is entirely California's fault that I
Yep.
have to click on stuff like this.
And like, look, we knew this wouldn't work many, 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 many years ago when, funny enough, kids kept getting into adult websites for some reason. Why?
What?
Well, it turns out you can lie about your birthday when it's just a
What?
drop-down menu. Weird.
Kids have
You
access
shouldn't,
to
because
adult
it's against the
websites?
rules. However,
No. Hey, here's some other fun ways that you could get into the. I'm just sorting this website that I've now friggin' fought my way into after navigating all of their silly nonsense. Sort by price descending. So, some other fun things that you can do, other fun ways that you can get into the SBR game is there's actually websites that just like sell Class 3 stuff, and you can just go. I believe guns.com has a Class 3 section.
I believe they do. I am
I
searching
believe
for it right now because, why not?
this would be a fun one.
I need another
Go get
fun
the
thing.
B&T SPC 9mm 4.5 with the suppressor. It's only $3,300. Get it. Do it. Let's see. What are other? Oh, no, wait, here we
Oh,
go.
that's we can bring that up too. It in entry level SBRs, if you're on the fence and you don't know if you want to do a 5.56, because then you might want to get a can and it, like you're looking at that original cost outlay as really, really high, then guys, start with 9 millimeter. 9 mil is stupid fun in SBRs because that's usually the native form. So you can get the military version of it. So you can get the regular barreled Scorpion, regular barreled MCX, regular barrel lengths on the MP5s, like as they're supposed to go, as opposed to that goofy, like 16-inch SP5 barrel that they did to make it a PCC and it's sticking like 10 miles in front of the
Ridiculous.
stock handguard.
Those are all the wrong answer because as I've been clicking around this retailer's website, get the Auto Ordnance Thompson M1 in 45 ACP with a 10.5
Yeah,
inch
with
barrel.
the 10,
Get that one. That's
yes.
the one to get. All right. Go get that. Show up at your local PCC match or your range or whatever with that and just stunt on them hoes. Will it run
Stunt.
reliably? Probably not.
No,
Do you care? Because
those
it's
weren't
a 10 and a half inch Thompson. You don't. You're the
no.
coolest person on the range by default with that gun. And
Damn
last but
right.
not least, let's throw a shout out to, and that's it's like 2 grand for that, right? So I'm just gonna visit because so guns.com is a partner of ours at Taurus. Gunbroker is a partner of ours as well as guns.com. And I'm going to Gunbroker here just for a second because we're going to go to Class 3 Firearms, NFA, and Destructive Devices. And if you really, really want to get into the SBR NFA game and you maybe have, I don't know, 10 grand to light on fire,
Like we do.
like you do, let's see. Man, these used to be cheaper. Inflation is pissing me off, homie.
It is not cool. I do not like. Remember when we were young and our hearts were an open book,
I just
and
okay.
$100,000 salary was like not just good, but like really
Oh
good.
my gosh, yeah. If you back in the day when we were the youths and 100 G's was a lot of money. All right,
100
hang
G's would
on.
like 100 G was your like 100 G household income, not individual, but household. That was your rich friend, right? That was the
Right.
friend with the really cool PC and like a TV in more than one room and everything like that.
Oh, how
Oh,
we
hi guys.
long for
We're
the good
old.
old days.
A lot of
Okay,
you
hang
are
on.
old too. I've seen it.
I've
So.
gone to machine guns, and we're going to go with under price range, under, is that 281? Who the fuck? All right, we're gonna cap this at $15,000. That's $150,000. That's definitely not the one that we want to do. All right, so what can you get for $15,000? You can get a Mac 10. You can get another super weird. The Mac aftermarket, by the way, is amazing.
Yeah,
You could get a
there's
really wild Mac 11. There is a PKM. There's a Yugo PKM in 762 by 54 that has a buy now price of $12,000. I'm gonna.
that's not bad for
You want a
PKM.
fucking PKM?
I've seen Uzis
And it's, oh, hold
as
on.
high as
It
that.
says no law letter required, which makes me feel like this is a come on. I'm like, there, what do you mean no law letter required?
I don't.
You must con, yeah. If you do not
Oh, is
possess it.
that O2 or O3 transferable only, I wonder?
Oh yeah, it's a SOT only.
Yep. So what that is, guys, the magic of the SOT, if you are a manufacturer or an importer, I am unfortunately just a dealer, so I don't get to play in this game until I upgrade my FFL, and decide that I want to make things if I want to. But if you were a manufacturer or an importer, so the level two or level three, I'm the level one. If another SOT decides, I'm tired, I'm done, I have all these machine guns that were originally law lettered guns, they have to get rid of them and they can't transfer them to private inventory. They're not pre-86. So those get to go on the open market, and other level twos and level threes can buy those. And you don't need a second law letter to get them, which is really cool. I saw an F2000 that was a
Well,
non-law letter, and I was like,
I'm just cruising the market for these, and the no law letter guns are like the prices on them are almost reasonable. Like, there's back to the M1 Thompson, there's a
yep.
no law letter Thompson on here that's $4,500, which is
And
less
the
than
reason why
double.
is when they get bought as law letter guns, that's just regular price,
Yeah.
right? It's just a unit price. It's not any of the pre-86 inflation that goes on there.
Yep. Huh. If you are this item description in cat all caps, if you are a civilian, you cannot own this. Like, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, okay, you don't have
We,
to.
to be fair, I imagine they probably get a lot of dumb questions about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is probably about it for this episode. Clearly, you guys should go buy machine guns and SBRs. There's no real point to this episode other than that we like machine guns and SBRs and that we are in a
I
really
originally
good.
had more structure to talk about, like, how shorter rifles have started to take over the military and law enforcement spaces. But like, you know why? Because shorter guns are easier to get in and out of vehicles with and cruise around with, and they're a little bit lighter. And we've turned out that if we optimize the ammo, which when you're buying at government level bulk isn't hard, because you're buying hundreds of millions of rounds and you can say, hey, do this powder load. Yeah, they're really good. So shorter guns currently rule the roost, and you should buy them too, and machine guns, because machine guns.
And machine guns. Real quick, last machine gun. There is an M2 carbine, which is my holy grail of machine
Oh
guns,
God, yes.
for $12,000. Yeah.
Oh, 30 carbine, go bird.
I know, right? All right, guys, that's it for this episode. We will be back next week with a new episode. Thank you, everyone, for liking, sharing, subscribing, listening, and all of those other fun things. And we will talk to you guys again soon.